So yes, happy new year. That's what you said, right? New. That's a fun word most of the time. And everywhere else but church. But no, news, we like the word new. New is used in so many advertising campaigns. You'll see boxes in the grocery store. And I encourage you this week when you do your grocery shopping, just look and see how many boxes you see with the word new on it. It's new this, new that, new formula, new look, new that. It's just new. New. New sells because new's fun. New is fun. And we're going to have fun this new year. It's going to be fun because we've got reason to call it a happy new year. This is going to be a really, really good year to start inviting people to church. Okay, and we're really hoping that that's something that just catches for everyone here because there's no reason not to. Things are going really well here, correct? We're getting yes, things are really cool. There's no reason not to invite someone. There's all sorts of reasons to invite someone. We have a healthy church. We have a church that's warm and friendly and really cares about each other. I mean, I've got a stack of prayer requests this morning, and I'm going to have to make sure that we have a portion of time to spend in prayer this morning. It's been a week of various things, and I know that when something's brought to you guys, you're going to care about it. You're going to pray, and you're going to follow up. Some of those people are going to get phone calls, or they're going to get cards. It's awesome. It's really cool what we have here, and we don't need to keep that to ourselves. This is a great thing to bring people to, and we're seeing health here that has been just in its healthiest state in a long time. We've got a church that seems to have a heartbeat that is beating in unison, and that is exciting because when you're all facing the same way, we can do something. We can go somewhere. And so that's really cool. We got a worship team that does a really good job. We've got our hymn Sundays, our traditional Sundays that happen. Grandma's still able to get up here and play every once in a while. We were talking about that a little bit this morning. So keep her in your prayers. But I think she did a wonderful job this morning. Absolutely. And then the praise team Sundays. They're just a group of talented individuals, and not just talented, because you can have talented people play instruments. They get it. They understand what they're up here for. I guarantee you there's not a single one of these that are playing to you as an audience. They are playing to an audience of one. And the reason why they do such a good job up here is because they're using their talents to try and lead you to that same audience of one. And you can see that. That's something that's you can feel it. It's an intangible, and that's something that we have here. It's real worship with whoever's leading worship up here. That's the goal, and it's seen. It's not a smoke and light show. It's real, and we've got that. And then this year, the sermons are specifically geared to interests that people have. So we've got all sorts of reasons to invite people to church. The sermon topics this year, all year, some degrees more and some degrees less, but the whole year we've taken into consideration in the many, many preaching team meetings, kind of sorting out what this year is going to look like. We really looked at the demographic study and really had that in mind when we were picking out topics and things that we were going to be bringing up on Sunday mornings in here. And many of the topics we're covering, they are directly related to that demographic study. Topics of interest, topics that people you know, people all around you in your people group, that they're going to be interested in. Topics that they are curious about. Because our demographic study It represents our group, our area around the church, but when you compare it to the U.S. Statistics, some of them are very similar. And so if what's same for our community is the same from your community, is the same for the people you work at, could be different degrees, but most of these things are going to be very similar across the board. And so we're kicking off this year by talking about life to the full. Life to the full. John quotes Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10, where we have this famous verse about living life to the full. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So what does that mean? Life to the full. One of the things in our demographic study that we noticed was that in our area, 86% of the people in our area that was studied, they believe in God. That's not far off from the national average. The national average is 84. So we're a little higher, but really not much different than national average. However, only 32% are strongly involved in their faith. So 86 believe in God, but only 32% are active in their faith, strongly active. That leaves 68% that are either somewhat active or not active at all. And once again, the U.S. average was very close to this as well. So whatever our demographic study here, it will be very similar in the various people groups that you have, the circles that you have, that you have people that you come into contact with. So as the leadership discussed at length, many of the findings of the demographics team, the SWAT team, the DNA study, one of the conclusions we came to based on some of these numbers here was that our energy is not going to be best used in convincing people that God exists or convincing them to believe in God, because 86% of them do believe in God. 86% of them believe in God. There we go. That's the sentence I was trying to say. But that our energy then would be best used not to convince them of God, but to convince them that God's ways are superior. Because what this study shows in our meetings and the leadership team and taking all the different things that all the other teams brought to us was it deciphering this, that these people believe in God, but they're not active in their faith, so they're depending on other sources for their guidance. They're leaning on other sources for their guidance and their influence. They believe in God, but what they hold as important is influenced by things other than God. They believe in God, but their standards, their principles, their morals, they're based on the world around them instead of based on God and God's ways. So our battle is not convincing people that God exists, but rather convincing them that his ways are superior. And that's what this series is all about, living life to the full. Jesus said that he came so that we could live life and live it to the full, have it to the full. So we're going to look at various topics in this series, just everyday topics, topics that we all have, that we all see around us. And we're looking at how they're better approached, how there's a better angle, how God's ways, God's habits, his healthy habits that he builds in us actually provide a better life, just plain life as we're living. The habits of a follower of Christ lead to a healthier lifestyle. Today is simple. Today is just about healthy character traits. Healthy character traits and how they lead to a better life in general. So today is very general. And it'd be a good one where if you have someone that you're wanting to invite to church, you can send them to the website. Say, hey, we've had one sermon in the series. Go there, get freshened up, kind of get a clue as to what's going on, and then come join me Sunday morning. And maybe that'll be a good bridge for someone that's kind of not really a church-going person. But open the door there. Or you can go back and listen to the sermon. That way you can better explain to them what this series is about and where we're headed. Some of the topics coming up are going to be a little thicker than this morning. We're talking about physical health. We'll be talking about financial health. Mental health. We'll be talking about verbal health, the power of words. And then health in our relationships. And that'll be the Sunday right before Valentine's Day. So we're going to mid-February through this series. Healthy relationships have habits. And all of these come from the healthy habits of a follower of Christ and how that improves, how that elevates your life here, not just later. Healthy character traits. And I skipped something. I'm trying to find it. So anyway, but yes, a lot of us understand the the benefits, the eternal benefits. And this series is not negating those at all. We're just not talking about those as much. But we understand the eternal benefits. We get to spend life with God forever as a Christian. That's awesome. We escape hell. That's a big deal. And for those of us who are Christians, as we are listening to the series and we're taking this in, these are important things for us to understand, not just that there's eternal benefits, but there's life benefits. Now, if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus. It's a good Sunday to be here. It's a good series to be involved in. And for those of you who have people in your circles, this is a really good series. This series models very much the same technique, that's a real cold sounding word, that I use in my premarital counseling sessions that I have. I have couples that come in off the street a lot that want to get married here. They like it. They think it's a pretty church and it's real close to the Woodlands. That typically works well for a lot of people. They can have their wedding here and have the reception down there. And so I have a lot of people that come in that want church weddings that aren't church people. And I share with them, April's smile, you were baptized in the midst of your premarital sessions there. So, and then they started coming here, and their reception was at the Woodlands. Okay, so yes, they're Tom and April here today, 10 years later, 11? 15, I'm sorry, 15. I remember hearing it was on the five. So, but yeah, 15 years later, here they are. They went up to Maine, they came back down. And I've had a number of, but the idea, what happens in those times is that I just take God's word and I say, here's what God's word says about relationships. Here's some things that he says about marriage. Here's some things he says about relationships, period. I teach couples how to fight properly by the wisdom in God's word. And seriously, that's a whole session, how to fight the right way. And how to argue the right way, because conflict is necessary in a relationship. But the principles, the way that the style of that is, here's what God's word says, here's how it helps us, here's how it's beneficial, here's how it's wisdom beyond what our world offers. Here's how it's more healthy. And so that same concept is what this whole series is kind of based on. Here's what God's word says, here's why it's healthier. And so a lot of your friends who don't know Christ or aren't familiar with God's word, this would be a good series because they'd be able to see God's word has validity in today's life. And that might open the door to see the validity that God's word has for eternal life, the key purpose of the gospel, not just life here, but what we understand is the most important. But you got to get there sometimes. So this is a really good section of subjects, topics that will be good bridge building topics. So healthy character traits, today's simple topic. And today really could come from anywhere in the Bible. The idea is that there are many places in the Bible where we're told, especially throughout the New Testament, here's how you live. Here's what you do as a Christian. Here's the attitude you should have. Here's the actions you should have. Here's how you should treat other people. And there are a number of different places in the New Testament where we could have gone this morning and grabbed a sample. I went to Romans chapter 12, and I went there for a couple specific reasons. But what we're doing today, just to kind of give you an idea, I'm just kind of giving you a sample, an example of here's what you can do on your own. Nothing that we're doing in here is something out of the realm of what you could do on your own today. But my goal is to inspire you, encourage you, motivate you to start taking this view on things in your Bible and to connect even more to how relative God's word is to us and the healthy habits that it brings and the advantage we have. When we look at statistics like that, and I see that 86% of people believe in God, but only, you know, what was it, 32 are strongly active. That's not just outside these walls. Okay? That means there are people here right now that we claim that we believe in God, but we lean on other sources for our guidance. So it's not just them. It's us too. We're part of that. And so we have to change if we're wanting to see changes outside. So Romans 12, I picked this one very specifically, this verse right here that kind of kicks it off. In verse 2, the first half, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Paul draws a line in the sand for believers, a line that we need to have drawn for us as often as we can, to be reminded of it, because sometimes we fade. Sometimes we're strong. Sometimes we're in a good place, and we see the line in the sand, and we're reassured. I'm on the right side of the line. Sometimes we see the line in the sand, and we realize, oh, I've drifted. I've moved. I've shifted a little. And so it's important to be able to see this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We should have a different lifestyle because we are being transformed by God. That we should not lean to the pattern of this world for our guidance, because we're being transformed. We should not be in the group of people that say they believe in God, but yet they turn to Google whenever they're looking for advice. Hey, Google, help me plan the perfect Valentine's date for my spouse. Hey, Siri, help me find a better parent. Help me find help to be a better parent. Hey, Alexa, how do I get along better with my coworkers? How do I get along with the difficult coworkers? Hey, Google, how can I best advance in my career? Hey, Siri, find a diet that will work for me this time. Hey, Alexa, I'm struggling with addiction. Please help. Hey, Google, I need advice on how to care for my aging parents. Hey, Siri, I need to find a budget plan that actually works. Hey, Alexa, write my sermon for Sunday. We see this. This is the information age. And I think that's what makes this percentage. I think that's what makes the difference here. We need to live it so that we can share it. Because I believe, and I believe you believe, and I believe any of us that have experienced even a hair of it, believe that what we have is a healthier way of life. Following God's ways, following God's word, following His commandments, His principles, His morals, it is healthier. We need to be more vocal about that. Healthy character traits. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Skip on down to verse 9. And this is going to be the big part here. It's just three verses. And in these three verses, we've got three triads or trios. So it'll make it very easy for remembering and taking this home with you. Okay? Very easy to put in your pocket today. So I'm going to read the whole section, then we're going to go back through and look at three little sections within it. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be hopeful, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Very simple, three verses, but lots and lots and lots of stuff. Four verses, sorry. So back up at the beginning of it. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. We got our first two. And so these three main categories, I've just got category heads for them. This first one's integrity. And the little trio, the little triad that falls under that has to deal with our integrity. Various dictionaries produce three main definitions for integrity. One typically centers around the idea that it's a firm adherence to a moral code. The second definition tends to function around something that's that talks about being in a sound or an unimpaired condition, to have integrity. And then the third definition typically has something to do with being complete or being whole, to have integrity. Paul states very simply that at the beginning of this verse that we must love sincere. This isn't a command to love. This is a command to look at how we love, how we go about love, that our love must be sincere. The idea for this word sincere, it means unmasked. It means to love without being a hypocrite, to love without hypocrisy. Let's write this down. Sincere actions of love. We live in a world full of masks. Truth be told, we're wearing them even now to various degrees. Paul says we should love without a mask, that we should love without hypocrisy, that we should love sincere, that our love should be seen and understood as totally sincere, without any question, without any hint that there's some agenda, that there's something behind it, that it's true, that it's pure, that it's real, that it's not some part of some hypocritical ruse where we're trying to be something that we're not, to love unmasked, love sincere. Then he says to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. This is a healthy habit of having a true moral compass. A true moral compass. A moral compass that is uncompromised. A moral compass that always points north. And we follow that compass, and that's what separates us from the world. That's what makes us different. We don't conform to the world's ways. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And what we have is we have a true compass, a true moral compass. We live in a world with relative truth, and with relative truth comes relative morals. The idea of relative morals or relative truth is what's right for you might not be right for me. Relative truth would say what's true for you might not be what's true for me, and my truth might not be your truth. And then as truth crumbles that way, morals will also follow. And you'll see things like, well, what's right for you is it's not right for me. But that's okay. We can coexist as long as we just tolerate each other's morals, principles. And we live in a world that has relative morals. But church, listen, that's not how we have come to Christ. That's not how we have come to know him and his ways and his kingdom. And God is a true moral compass that points true north all the time, the same way, no compromise. And we have to live like that, because if we don't, then we're just living conformed to the world. And it's, hey, Google, hey, Siri, hey, Alexa, how do I live my life? It's not what we do, church. Our moral compass is, hey, God, what's right here? What's good? Cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. We have a true moral compass. And that's very healthy to have. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So being devoted to one another is a Christian-to-Christian relationship that Paul's talking about. He says, be devoted to one another in love, and this is a brotherly love. But there's a general principle to be gained here. There's a healthy habit that's universal. Because he follows this up by saying, honor one another above yourselves. And that comes from humility, to be able to honor others. Let's write this down. Humbly see value and worth in others. It's our first little triad here under integrity. So you love without a mask. You love sincerely. Sincere actions of love. We have a moral code. That's part of our integrity. And then this is how we see people. We humbly see value and worth in others. And the practice of being devoted to each other, that puts us in this mindset for outside the church, to honor each other above ourselves. That allows us to see that people have value, people have worth. And we don't see that if we're looking through the world through pride-tinted sunglasses. You don't see the value. You don't see the worth in other people when pride is the head of the show. But when humility is there, when you're honoring other people above yourself, then you get a chance to see the value and the worth that they have as a person that's been made in the very image of God. We don't see that when we're self-centered, when we're self-focused, when we're living for us. And so this practice of honoring one another, of being devoted to each other as Christian to Christian, and then honoring each other above ourselves, it helps to practice this healthy habit of being able to see value and worth in other people. So it's integrity. Love sincere without hypocrisy, cling to what is good, hate what is evil, and humbly see the value and worth in others. The next little trio I've categorized as purpose. We have purpose. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. 1, 2, 3. They're all right there. The first three are a little scattered. Boom, boom, boom. Never be lacking in zeal. The word translated here is zeal. If you were to have your Bibles open and you were right there in Romans chapter 12, you'd be able to look up in verse 8. And it's the same exact word that's used there that's translated as diligence. Mike's reading his New American Standard, and it translates it diligence both places. So it keeps it consistent, and I appreciate that. Not that the NIV's wrong, it's just you get a chance to see in this particular place, the New American Standard says, it says diligence here. Same word, we're going to translate diligence here. So it says never be lagging behind in diligence is what the NASB translates that as. So we're never to be lacking or lagging behind in diligence. And the reason is because we have purpose in life, church. We live for something bigger. Let's write that down. Diligence in life because we live for something bigger. We approach life itself with a different outlook, and therefore we have a different work ethic to life, not just to our career or our job. We have a work ethic about life that is different, and it's healthier because we have a purpose. We live life with diligence. We don't just go to work with diligence. We live our life with diligence because we live for something bigger. We approach life with diligence because our motivation transcends this world. We approach life itself with this work ethic because it's bigger than any motivation, earthly motivation offered in any situation, because our motivation is bigger. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. This idea is a flame, a spiritual flame being set on fire by the Spirit himself. This is a direct reference to the power behind our purpose. Let's write this down. Energized and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. We live life to the full because we have been energized and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Our purpose demands a diligence that is out of this world, and our purpose is empowered by a source that is out of this world. So our diligence comes from a purpose that transcends our world around us, and our power comes from a power that transcends everything around us. Supernatural. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. And he links this together with the third one there, serving the Lord. That's the purpose. That's what we do. The purpose of our diligence, the purpose of the Holy Spirit's empowerment is to serve God, to serve the Lord, to serve Jesus. Write this down. Living as an obedient servant of Christ. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to live with a work ethic that's out of this world. A work ethic towards life. That's how you have life to the full. And we understand that we're empowered and energized. We don't operate on our own power, our own strength. That's healthy to understand and healthy to recognize. And we live as obedient servants of Christ. That's the purpose. And these are healthy character traits of a follower of Christ. One more little section, and then I want to put this together a little bit with some relevance. Last little section's on focus, so you can go on and write that down. Focus. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Very, very simple. Boom, boom, boom. Another little triad, another little trio. All go together. So let's take notes on this. And as I was looking at this, the three tend to deal with different parts of the human person, heart, mind, and spirit, or soul. So heart, our hope keeps us joyful. Let's write that down. Our hope keeps us joyful. This is a focus of the heart. Our hope is not changed by earthly circumstances or situations. Therefore, our joy is not affected by earthly situations. If your joy is in other things, then of course it's going to be changed because it's going to shift. But if your joy is in our hope never changes, therefore your joy will never have to change. We're always joyful because we always have hope. Amen? Amen. And so our joy is unhindered and unchanging. Our focus allows our heart to transcend any current thing that we're going through, anything that we're dealing with. Our hope allows our joy to transcend that. That's healthy. That's powerful. And I don't want us to miss how cool that is for us and how cool that is for people that you know that don't have it. It is so simple. And I think we take these things for granted a lot of times. Our hope keeps us joyful. That's a powerful, powerful truth. The second one is that we bear up under difficult times. This is a power and a strength and a health that we get as Christians. Let's write this down. We persevere with courage. And I see that as being a strength or a focus of the mind. That we persevere with courage. That's the inference here that Paul's getting with patient in affliction. The word here is a very strong word. And it means to endure, with courageously endure. The word that's translated is patience here. So we hold up, we endure through tough times. And this is seen as patience. We do so courageously because our relationship with God. The hope we have gives us an unhindered joy. That hope also helps to focus our mind because we have a hope that's outside of this world, outside of our circumstances, outside of any situation that we go through. So we can be patient. If life is rough for a few months, for a few years, for a decade, we can be patient because we have a hope that's eternal. Puts things into perspective. Man, that's healthy. That's healthy to be able to weather storms like that, to be patient in affliction, to go through difficult times with courage because we have a hope that's bigger. So, so healthy to focus our mind on those things, on a single focus in life. And the third part of this trio is prayer. So write this down. We never stop praying. And that's a focus of the Spirit. Jesus got away often to pray, to be with his Father, to share with his Father. It's time with our Father, connecting with him, talking to him, listening to him. And through that, our spirit gains focus. When we don't have that, we lose focus. Take a moment. I want you to look back over your notes here as you filled those out. And I want you to, I can go on and come on down. Because we're going to be a little interactive for this last part here. So take a look at your notes. Look over the little triads that we've got, the little trios that we've got. Integrity, purpose, focus. So we've got sincere actions of love, true moral compass, humbly seeing value and worth in others, We've got diligence in life because we live for something bigger, energized and empowered by God's Holy Spirit, living as an obedient servant of Christ. And then under the focus, we've got our hope, keeps us joyful, our perseverance with courage, or we persevere with courage, and we never stop praying. So I've just got some very, very basic areas of life here. These things spill over. And let me remind you, this is four verses in Romans chapter 12. There are many places in the New Testament where you see these type of descriptions where Paul or Peter or John, they're writing, here are the things you need to do as a Christian. You live this way. You do these things. And we took a little bit of time studying today. Nothing that a little bit of research on your own could not unravel and pull some things apart there. We might have gone a little deeper here than you would go in your personal study, but it's okay. Anything that you grab from these things, you can take and say, this is healthy. And I want us all to see how this applies. It's not just something that we hear in church. We say, oh, that's a good idea. That's really Christian. That's a very nice thought. But how does this really connect? Like, for instance, our marriage. Think of how these virtues are healthy in my marriage. Not my marriage, but our marriage. Our marriages, but I want you to take it personally. In my marriage. So what are some of the things up here that we see in the nine things that we've listed out here from these four verses that can help in our marriage, in your marriage? Sincere actions of love. Think about that. That's powerful. Very simple. But if we only took that one thing into our marriages, think of how that would elevate our marriages. Think of how that would elevate the marriages of those that you know that are outside of Christ. And if you would share with them, here's the wisdom I get from God's word, that we're to love sincerely, that we're to have sincere love, not just love, but that it's unmasked, that it's not a love out of hypocrisy. And I've been doing that with my spouse, and it's taken our marriage to another level. How easy is that? To be able to share with them what I believe, the values and morals I get from this true moral compass, which is another one you can bring up there. It's healthier for my marriage. Look at us. Be the example. What's another one? Yes. Yeah, it's not, because you know everything about your spouse. You see the ugly. That's a big deal. To humbly see the value and worth in your spouse. How would that take your marriage to the next level? If you have a great marriage, that's going to improve it. I guarantee it. If you have a marriage that is on the edge of extinction, that could save it. That one thing can turn it around. It's how powerful it is. And church, these are things we know. I'm just bringing them back up to the surface. And we need to read our Bible with this understanding that what I'm reading in the Bible is healthy for me now, and it's healthy for everyone around me. And if I live it, and I'm the example, then I can share it easily with other people. You can go through all nine of these, and you can apply them to your marriage. We're not going to do that this morning. But that's how awesome it is. Yeah, we'll get one more then. I want to move on. Praying for each other and praying together. Absolutely. When you guys say you're praying for things and different things, but when my wife shares with me that she's been praying for me, that's powerful. Because I'm not closer to anybody else than I am to her. And that means a lot when I hear that from her. Yeah, absolutely. That takes your marriage up to, it's healthy. It's healthy. What about the next one here? Being a child, parent, or a grandparent. So we got different levels. And we're all children. I'm a child in many ways. But if you have parents, you're a child. And so sometimes this is being the child of an aging parent. Sometimes this is being the children that were in here that are downstairs. Being a parent, being a grandparent. What are some of these that can apply there? diligence in life because we live for something bigger. Absolutely. We live life to the full because we have a work ethic towards life. Amen. Being a good child, being a good parent, being a good grandparent, that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of consistency. And that's not going to happen if you're depending on worldly things. But when you're leaning on God, and your work ethic is based on an understanding that I'm living for something bigger, then that gives you the ability to really dig in, really focus, and be diligent in the way that you act in that relationship. Let me bring another one in with that. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to be a witness, but he empowers us to do all the things that God wants us to do. Does God want us to be a good child to our parents? Absolutely. It's in the Ten Commandments. Does God want us to be good parents? Absolutely. Does God want us to be good grandparents? Absolutely. So it's fully understandable to believe that God's Holy Spirit is empowering us to be the best parent we can be, to be the best grandparent we can be, to be the best child we can be. We have that. That's an advantage. That is healthy. We need to lean on that and understand that when I don't feel like I got the gumption, when I don't feel like I've got the skills, when I don't think I've got the ability to be a good parent, God can be a good parent through me. That's awesome. That's powerful. Next one here. Other relationships. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives us positive energy to get through the things, to deal with those difficult people at work. Those other relationships. Yeah, absolutely. What's another one on here? One we haven't touched on yet. You're going to say what? Pray for them, okay? Yes. That changes how we view them. That also goes back into the value and worth. Well, that is biblical. What? In kindness? Oh, yes. The goal is in kindness. Yes. Humbly see value and worth in others. It fits there as well. That would go with any of our relationships. Absolutely. Right. So, once again, very, very broad and very healthy. What about... we'll move on to the next one. Inside my work or school environment. How would you look at, say, our hope keeps us joyful? How does that affect your work or your school environment? Helps me hit the backspace button. Absolutely. Before hitting the send button, I'm assuming is where that's coming from. Yes. Yes. And we get into situations at work or at school that are daunting sometimes. They're difficult. You get grouched at by somebody, either a customer or one of your superiors or one of your underneath or just simple coworker. And if our joy is found simply in working for a blankety-blank company, then moments like that steal our joy. But if our hope is what gives us joy, then the joy doesn't disappear. Yeah. And that's healthy. So church, I really hope that we see that what we have, and this is what the whole series is going to be jumping into. I wanted to pick a very simple beginning so we'd be able to see the concept and grab it together as a church so we'd all have buy-in to understanding this is healthy. This is better. This is a better way to live. And at the same time, giving us some things to take home and to put into practice in our own life. You take these 9 things, you take one of them and apply them in every area of your life, and it's going to elevate it. You take 2 of them, it's going to elevate it even more. You take 3, you see where I'm going. And they're not difficult. Paul was very simple in Romans 12. Here's what you do. And these 4 verses would be very easy to memorize. Partly because you can follow these 3 little triads. Love, sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honoring one another above yourself. That's the first triad. Move to the second triad, talking about purpose. Never be lacking in zeal. But always keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. 1, 2, 3. And the last 3. What are the last 3 dealing with? What's on there? No, just the topic. Tell me. We're interactive here. What? Focus. And you can take those 3. You can say focus heart, focus mind, focus spirit. Be joyful in our hope. Be patient in our affliction. And be faithful in prayer. There you go. And you can memorize 4 verses of scripture that easy. And you take those and those 9 elements of those 4 scripture verses and you put them in your life and you watch how you live life to the full. That's what Jesus was talking about. I've come so that you can live like this. Not just so that you can die like that. That's a big part of it, absolutely. But that now that we live like this now and here, and church, it's healthier. So much healthier than what the world's bringing. So much healthier than what you're going to find through Google or Siri or Alexa or all of the other self-help things that are out there. You just go to the Bible and you open it up and you start reading and you put that into practice and you watch how that elevates your life. We don't have life to the full. If we have empty lives, if we're looking up there at the gas gauge and we see that it's coming down and we're closer to empty, I guarantee you it's because you're not following what God's word has to say for you in your life. Because if you do, that gas gauge is going to come up. Live life to the full through healthy character traits. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for just the simplicity of your word sometimes. Father, I ask that you'd help us to put these into practice so that we would be able to be an example for the world to see that your ways are better, that your ways are healthy, that your ways are the only ways to really, really get out of life what we should be getting out of life. Father, we thank you so much for life eternal. That is huge. It's amazing. In addition to that, you've given us life here. And we should connect with that because that's our ability to be a witness to others. Father, I pray that you would open doors this next week and that every one of us would step through them. That you would open doors in all of our lives of opportunities and areas that we can open our mouth about the things that we know. If it's one of these 9 things that we talked about this morning, to just share that with someone in our circle of influence, our friends, our family, our neighbors, and that would open the door to be able to bring them into your family so they can experience the love that we have here, the warmth that we have here, the care that we have for each other, and that they would see you more and more through that, through the activity of your church, through the health of your church, and that they would see the advantage not only of a healthier lifestyle on earth, but more importantly, a healthier lifestyle for eternity. Help us to be bridge builders this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.